Today is June 30th, 2021, and this is episode number 549 of the Apple Context Machine. That's a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Brian Chaffin, a man with a dog who will soon be about 50 grams lighter. At least that's my guess. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you would like to comment on or question anything about this show, you can shoot me a note over at macobserver.com/contextmachine. That'll take you straight over to our Facebook group. And the hour that I just mentioned would be the fact that I'm being joined once again by my very good friend, Jeff Gamet. Jeff.
Oh, hey, how'd I get here?
I
do not
know.
Thanks for taking the black sack off of my head finally.
Yeah, well, I needed to do a show.
No, I understand. But, you know, honestly, it's always great to get to hang out with you. And when you send me a message and say, can you bail me out and do a show? I mean, are you available to do a show? I'm always happy to jump in and be here with you. It's awesome.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. And very, very likewise. Now, you may not know this, and funny enough, my first delivery showed up right before we started recording, but HelloFresh is our sponsor today. A little later in the show, I'm going to tell you about how to get up to 14 free meals through HelloFresh. I'm pretty excited about this. By the way, so was Ichabod. Buddy, don't do that. Can I tell you the meals they sent me?
I would love that because I'm excited to know about what you're going to eat so you're not going hungry.
I'm sure you are. White cheddar Wonder Burgers with caramelized onions and some bay fries. Cherry balsamic pork chops with couscous and thyme and green beans, roasted green beans. And then balsamic tomato and herb chicken. This is like, looking pretty darn good.
That's fancy. That's like invite a date over and make them dinner fancy.
Yeah. Well, and that works because I'm a bachelor and the meals are for two, so that's perfect. I'm going to see what I can do about that. Let's see here. We have... I'm using we really liberally have three topics today.
No, it's okay. We is plural for us, so that really wasn't liberal.
Well, you came up with the topics, so I'm sort of doing that thing where I take all the credit for what you're doing.
Oh, okay.
Right. You know, or what it must be Wednesday.
I check the calendar, and yes, must be Wednesday.
So let's jump straight into the first topic, which is iPhone 12 night photography.
Yeah. How about that?
Well, tell me about it. I have done a little bit, posted a couple
you
pictures.
Actually, now that I think about it, you posted a really nice night photo shot on Instagram. It's like shooting up from the base of a tree trunk at night.
Yeah.
I loved that photo.
Thank you. That's very, very, very kind of you to say, but that was like definitely a target of opportunity and it worked out and I was super stoked and I posted it to Instagram, which by the way, you can find me on Instagram at GeekTells. It's GeekTells. And where are you, by the way, on the Instagram?
Jay Gamet.
Jay Gamet. How about that? Who knew?
I did, so that's why I told you.
And you post a lot of great stuff around Boulder.
Oh, thank you.
But you haven't been posting a lot of night photography. So why did you want to talk about this today?
I wanted to talk about this because, like you, I've had an iPhone 12 Pro for a while. But unlike you, for some reason, I wasn't doing night photography. But like you, photos of opportunity. So like you had that tree trunk photo. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's been, I've been out where you know, like maybe I'm with a couple vaccinated friends and we're just hanging out, and there's been just a great photo opportunity. And with previous iPhones, to get the photo, it would go from something spontaneous to something that disrupted the evening. And with the iPhone 12 Pro, the spontaneity is back, and the photos are so much better. And I'm loving that that we have these phones where we can capture those moments, but also, holy crap, the technology behind that. I mean, I've made jokes in the past about, well, not so much jokes, but comments in the past about how I stopped using standalone cameras because our smartphone cameras are so good. And now I'm at the point that just for almost every use I can conceive of, I can't imagine wanting to use a dedicated camera anymore at all.
The best camera is the camera you have with you.
Right. And in this case, it's a really, really good camera.
And it actually is a really good camera. And a lot of the magic of the technology is coming not so much in what it can do, but in how easy Apple has made to do it. Like, yes. You know, I took a picture of that tree, and, you know, I essentially recognized the opportunity, and that was like the extent of my skill there. The reason why that photograph worked was because of, you know, iOS and the camera itself. It wasn't because I knew the right settings to use.
Right, which is great, because now all these people that have the ability to see a good photo and snap it don't have to worry about the technical stuff. And I just sent you a photo that I took a couple nights ago. And
oh, that's quite great.
Thank you.
That's a fantastic photograph.
I agree, and I'm not saying that in like a bragging way. It's just I had the opportunity, snapped the photo, and it just turned out really great.
Did you post that to Instagram? Will you post it to Instagram? Because that way I could include a link in the show notes, so that our listeners
I'll post it to Instagram.
Okay, yeah, fantastic.
I'll post it in Instagram. But the thing is, when you look at the photo, mm-hmm. It's a portrait. I did kind of a close-up portrait, and it looks like I have a lot of lighting all around me.
It does.
I do not.
Wow, that's really interesting. It looks like a very brightly lit patio at night.
Yeah, and it is a patio, and it is lit, but it wasn't brightly lit. So, you know, we're talking a patio outside a restaurant on the street, and it's, I think it was like close to 11 o'clock at night, actually. And so there weren't a lot of lights on. There were enough to be functional. But not the level of light that it appears in the photo.
That is really, really interesting. And I mean, it's low light as opposed to dark photos where the iPhone 12 is excelling at nighttime photography.
Right. Yeah. It's,
and that would be what, that's what you just described, was low light.
It was low light. And so I guess where I'm going with all of this is I love how empowering this technology is. And there was a time where the average person would never be able to snap a low light portrait photo and have anything that they could use.
Right. And it's not just that the photo looks good lighting wise. It's actually a great photo. And that is my understanding is your point. you were able to capture a great photo. It's not great because it looks good in low light. It's just a great picture. And it happened to be taken in low light.
Right. And it was totally spontaneous. And to me, that's a huge thing. Being able to capture those moments where you don't have to stage or get everything set up and hope the moment happens. It was just one of those things where my phone happened to be in my hand, and I over the course, the whole thing was like seconds. Phone's in my hand. I'm like, oh, this would make a nice photo. Boom, it's done.
Yeah,
and that's just wonderful.
That is a good thing. Now, I can understand photography pros or even photography hobbyists who have taken the time to learn how to use their SLRs or their DSLRs properly could sort of resent this because it really does lower the barrier to entry to being able to take good photos. And that's, again, that's a big part of the magic of what Apple has done. And to a lesser extent, the Android competitors too, or some Android competitors, is they've made it easy to take great photos. And I'm not even talking about like filters. That's a whole separate discussion. I mean, did you use, is the photograph I'm looking at, is that a filter for a photograph?
No edits.
No edits whatsoever. Yeah. So that's astounding. And I believe if I remember correctly, the tree photo also was no filters. It is having a profound effect on the way that ordinary people photo document life.
Yes. Yeah. That, to me, that's where the empowerment comes in, because now the ability to catch a good photo is in the hands of everyone.
Mm-hmm. Not everyone can afford an iPhone 12 Pro.
Okay. That's true. And just having the technology in your hand doesn't necessarily mean you'll capture a good photo. It means you have all the tools to make it happen should you be able to do that. So I guess that means it lowers the barrier to actually getting quality photos.
Yeah, it lowers the barrier to entry for sure. You know, it's interesting. If you think about dated photos, right? You look at a photo from the 60s. It looks like it's from the 60s, right? You take a photo, you look at a photo from the 70s. It's going to probably look like it's from the 70s, especially if it was printed, right?
Oh, right.
Like, yeah, it's a physical photograph. You look at a Polaroid and it's going to look like a dated photograph. There is going to be this sort of cutoff, probably about like the iPhone 10, maybe. Maybe the iPhone 8, maybe, but there's going to be this cutoff where all of a sudden photos start looking a lot better for a lot more people when the future looks back at photographs from this era.
I agree. Now I'm going to say something that's going to probably, for some people, get their panties in a bunch.
Okay.
But I think for the quality Android phones, that time came earlier than it did for the iPhone.
Mm.
Because there are some really good cameras on some Android phones.
But they were, and the Android industry was throwing megapixels at stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And while Apple was working on the software to utilize the hardware that was on its devices, and that was something I noted at the time. I mean, you know, the Android community was constantly throwing more and more megapixels at the cameras on phones to the point where, like, you know, actually using them would fill up your phone in moments.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't No, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I don't know if I want to give the Android industry as much credit as you seem to want to.
It's where I am right now is that I feel like we have gone past the point where Android users can gloat over iPhone users for quality of photos in general.
But I don't think they ever could, except for being able to gloat over size.
Well, there have been several times where I have stood beside someone that had a nice Samsung phone mm-hmm. in the past, mm-hmm. and we would take the same photo, and their photo turned out so much better. And then they would gloat over me.
Well, let's hear from the readers or listeners. I like to call them sometimes. Listeners, do you think that Jeff should be strung up by his ears as a traitor, or do you think that Jeff should be flogged and flayed as a traitor? Let us know at acm@macobserver.com, or once again, you can go to macobserver.com/contextmachine, and that'll take you straight to our Facebook group. Flogging or strung up. It's fair.
And what happened to option 3? Let's all sit down and have cake.
I think Marie Antoinette ruined that for everybody. Let's see here.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our second talk.
Loki. I can't wait to hear what it is.
It's Loki. And here's the twist I'm throwing in. And the movification of TV that we've been experiencing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So Loki is a show on the Disney Plus.
Right. It's one of the Marvel properties.
One of the Marvel properties. Okay, so it follows Loki, who's played by, Tom Hiddleston?
Tom Hiddleston.
And he's fantastic. The show's fantastic. And it very much feels like hour-long movie segments. More so than even agree. Like The Mandalorian. I love The Mandalorian. The Mandalorian feels more like a TV show. Don't get me wrong. The Mandalorian is still bigger than I think that we're really used to in the TV space, but I think that Loki sort of one-ups that, and it really feels like a movie.
I'll agree with that.
Because of the stars, and how much of that is because of the, you know, cinematography and special effects, which of course get cheaper to produce all the time.
It's a combination. Really. But if you don't have the quality of acting, you can't make up for it just with visual effects and cinematography.
Acting and writing. The writing
those are the key points.
Yeah, the writing is top notch too. The direction is obviously fantastic too. What's the Owen brother?
Well, while you try and figure that one out, I can't remember.
The co-star.
Owen Wilson,
the Wilson brother. Which Wilson brother is it that's in this one? I mean, I know him well, but I can't remember his name.
Owen.
Oh, excellent. Yes, he is a movie star, and here he is in this TV show, and so is Tom Hiddleston, who mm-hmm. is a movie star.
Yes, and there are several other people that are really good in it. One of my favorites is Agent. I think it's B-15, the woman.
No spoilers.
The badass woman.
Well, there's several.
Okay, the badass
woman. And we want to be careful with spoilers.
She says wearing body armor all the time. So no more spoiler risk territory. She is the same actress that played the sister in Lovecraft Country.
Yes. Yes, and, she is.
And while everyone was swooning over Journey Smollett, who is amazing and beautiful and wonderful and an incredible actress, the actress that played the sister, to me, she was the real star. I mean, she was just so great in her role.
Wait, and, we're still talking about Lovecraft Country.
We're still talking about Lovecraft Country. Okay. Yeah. I mean, she owned her role and she had the role that was the sexy role. And I mean, and she was so good in it too. And at the same time, a lot of people were not thinking of her as the sexy character in the series, but holy crap. I mean, she was just so good on every level.
She was amazing. And that show was fantastic too.
Yeah. Yes, and now to see her as a character or playing a character in Loki, as soon as she came on screen, I was like, "Oh, this is going to be so good." And this is even knowing Tom Hiddleston and that other Owen brother, Owen Wilson, were in it too. Yeah. Hey, here's a bit of trivia for you.
Yeah.
Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah.
The first place that I saw him was in the BBC remake of Wallander.
Okay.
And he was a supporting character. And you know, he was just this guy. And you know, I thought, okay, yeah, he's okay in this. And didn't think anything of it. And then the last season of Wallander comes up and he's not in it. And I'm like, well, what the hell? This guy was, I enjoyed his character. Why is he not there? Well, it turns out that he had been cast as Loki. And
there you have it.
So there you have
it. In the movies.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So another fun thing, Sasha Lane, who plays C-20, the actress who plays B-15 is, and I may be mispronouncing her name, Wunmi Mosaku.
Yes.
And Sasha Lane plays C-20. She is one of the leads in Utopia. Did you watch Utopia?
No.
Utopia was on, I want to say it was Amazon Prime. Yeah, Prime Video.
Okay, well, then I can go and watch it.
John Cusack is one of the stars. And I was really looking forward to season two. And I don't know if it was renewed or canceled, but so far there is only season one. And I really, really hope they do a season two. Anyway, fantastic show. A fantastic cast. And Sasha Lane, who plays C-20, she's one of the TVA agents.
Mm-hmm.
She was one of the stars of Utopia. Fantastic show. You gotta watch it. You know, I've talked many a time about the fact that we're in a golden age of TV.
And you're right. We are.
And we stay in that golden age of TV. Now, here's the interesting aspect of that. I think a lot of people, I would include myself among them, although maybe I'm merely projecting, might have thought that so many outlets for these creative shows would dilute the talent pool, dilute the acting pool, dilute the writing pool, dilute the directing pool, the crew pool, and we just keep getting more and more fantastic TV shows, way more than you can watch.
It's wonderful. Yeah, that's true. It seems like every week someone is asking me, have you seen, like you just did, have you seen Utopia?
Yeah. And that was 2020.
Yeah.
And you haven't watched it. And it's a show that's right up your alley.
And yeah, you didn't even I need to know watch about it.
Yeah. And you should watch it, to be honest. And Apple TV is turning out more and more good content too. Apple TV Plus.
Yes, I'm looking forward to Foundation.
I am looking forward to Foundation 2, although I feel like that is dangerous territory to trot. I mean, like it is anybody's show to do wrong. Right.
Yeah,
I mean, like there's a whole bunch of ways that it's, I think, relatively hard content to do. And I think it's one of the reasons why we haven't already seen many, if any, adaptations of it.
I agree. And I think this plays into what you said right at the beginning of the topic, which was the whole thing about the, how'd you say it? You didn't say movie-vacation.
I did say movie-vacation.
Okay. The movie-vacation of TV shows. And I think that's a byproduct, a good byproduct of this new golden age of television, because in the previous iteration of TV series, an episode had to be something that was clearly an episode. But now,
and it also had to appeal to the widest range of people possible,
right,
meaning you get dumbed down, you know, milk toast stuff.
Right. Yeah. You couldn't risk upsetting and alienating a large part of your potential audience. And so you had to play it safe. But now you can do so much more. And having the ability to essentially make a movie of the week out of each episode, it changes the game.
It really
does. A lot. And I think that has led to the acceptance and the embracing of creating shows like Lovecraft Country or Loki or the upcoming Foundation or and so many of the series that are out there. And you know, and I'm going to say the series that's the exception to the movie rule for shows, but has done everything so perfectly right, is Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso, one of the finest shows ever. But this did not, by the way, out for delivery right now is my Ted Lasso hoodie.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
I did in fact snap up a hoodie. I snapped up a hoodie so fast that I didn't notice that we talked about this on ACM, on TDO, but there was a banner across the top of the page that offered me a 10% discount. And I was so busy hitting the buy button that I didn't take the time to read all the, you know, the promotional stuff and did not use my 10%.
Oh, well,
yeah, it was just right there. It was just right there. Right there.
That tells you how valuable that hoodie is to you.
It is to me. I love Ted Lasso. Now, here's the thing, though. This golden age of TV did not start with streaming. It did not start with House of Cards. Although House of Cards was a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, House of Cards showed the value of producing original series content for a streaming service before streaming services were really streaming services, at least not like we're thinking of them today. It started with cable, and it started with it started in part with the company that owns, and I forget which company it is, but that owns TNT, the cable station.
Who owns them now?
I think it's still, it's a Turner Broadcasting, a Warner Media actually owns them. That's not who I was thinking of. So, Sci-Fi was producing original content. I felt that Justified is one of the best TV shows of all time. And it was, you know, on a relatively minor cable network. And that, to me, is when this golden age really started. Is right about then. I'm not that Justified was the only thing that was going on, but great show.
You know, the networks that were smaller, so meaning not ABC, NBC, CBS, they were in the position where they felt they could afford to take some of those risks and put out some of that content that was, I hate to say edgy or risky, but in comparison to the content we're seeing on the big three, sure, it would be.
And yeah, shows like Buffy, but at the same time, there was a lot of stuff that was on the WB, and what was the other one? The other did not show
UPN.
The UPN, right? There was a lot of shows that felt like WB / UPN shows, right? Mm-hmm. They had this sort of lack of quality that was sort of endemic to both of those networks. I think that it took some money coming in from some focus coming in on these cable networks that really felt like they needed to compete. I mean, like Battlestar Galactica was a great show. It was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was a long time ago. And that was a fantastic TV show. And it was a dark, edgy TV show. And it was a sci-fi original.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Sci-Fi Channel, they were willing to take some of those risks.
Yeah, and then TNT was taking risks. USA was taking risks. Take a show like Monk. You watch Monk, right?
Yeah, I remember Monk. Yeah,
I love
Monk. That was a good show.
It was a good show. It felt like a cable show. It definitely had a cable quality to the show, but it was really, really good. And it's a show that never would have been on ABC, NBC, CBS.
Yeah. What network was 6 Feet Under on?
6 Feet Under was HBO.
Okay.
HBO Dexter gets a lot of credit here too. And HBO, Dexter was HBO.
Okay. Yeah. HBO. Yeah, you're right. They were in a position where they could crank out some really interesting content. Was Dead Like Me regular television or one of the cable networks?
I am looking it up. I never watched that one, believe it or not.
You need to watch. You need to watch it.
That was Showtime.
Okay, the last season, don't bother, because that one was that one didn't have Mandy Patinkin, and they changed up some stuff, and it's kind of weird. But the other seasons, you totally need to watch Dead Like Me.
All right, noted. As long as you'll watch Justified.
Okay, wait. I thought I needed to watch I have to start writing this.
You
have
to watch Utopia too, but Utopia is 8 episodes. It's much less of a commitment.
Oh, okay. I can do that. I watch TV shows a lot faster than I read books.
You do a lot of things faster than you read books. Trees grow faster than you read books. Trees grow, get cut down, get turned into paper, and then go through a 2-year publishing process faster than you read books.
And that's why I have to read books at the rate that I do. Otherwise, there wouldn't be enough trees.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Jeff.
I'm looking out for the environment.
Yeah, so you are. So you are. So, yeah, Loki, great. Did you watch the Friends reunion show? Are you a Friends fan?
I did not watch the Friends reunion show, but I'm actually interested in watching it, even though I wasn't a big Friends fan. I saw a few episodes, but it wasn't a show where I felt compelled to watch every episode.
On the reunion show, so you didn't see the clip where Jennifer Aniston sticks scissors into Courtney Cox? Oh, spoiler.
No.
I'm kidding, of course. That does not happen.
That's okay. Just back that up and we'll pretend it didn't happen. But I did watch the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion.
How was it?
It was really good. I loved that they were not afraid to address the big problems that they had.
That is good. I didn't see it. So I'm unaware.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was one of those shows that I would watch when I had time. And then in retrospect, why wasn't I just watching every single one? Because what a groundbreaking show.
Sure.
You should watch that reunion show. They did it really well.
I will do so. I will do so. Now, let me tell you how to get up to 14 free meals from HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouthwatering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. You can skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. And here's the thing I like. Here's what I love about this stuff. They send all the ingredients and instructions I need to cook full meals. And they deliver them right to my door. Everything is like freezer packed. It is easy to unpack. The instructions are easy to follow. There's pictures, right? It just breaks it down into simple steps. And these recipes are easy to cook. Like the ones I got, let me tell you, I mentioned earlier, right? Balsamic tomato and herb chicken. Oh God, it's over a buttery garlic spaghetti, right? I cannot wait to make that. A white cheddar Wonder Burgers. Basically, it is a hamburger, right? Caramelized onion, special sauce, and Old Bay fries. Looks delicious. These things are simple to do. Prep, 5 minutes. Cooking time, 30 minutes. Prep, 10 minutes. Cooking time, 35 minutes. Prep, 10 minutes. Cooking time, 30 minutes. Now, that's for the three meals I have. Each time, it's going to be different. There's different things you can choose on the website. And again, all of the things, all of the spices, all of the ingredients, everything you need to cook these full meals is delivered right to your door. It's super easy. I find it fantastically, fantastically convenient. I find it fantastically convenient. And for someone who doesn't have a lot of time, I work hard, right? This makes making real meals that I'm not paying a fortune to, like, you know, have delivered to me pre-cooked from, you know, like a delivery service, right? The stuff is brought right to my door and I get to cook it myself, and it's fantastic. It's just absolutely fantastic. So you can try HelloFresh's quick and easy meals, like I say, 15 to 20 minute dinners, got breakfast on the go, more easy options, perfect for your busy lifestyle. HelloFresh offers 50 menu and market items each week, including ready-to-eat salads, sandwiches, and soups. You can cut out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips so you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in just about 30 minutes or less. I love this stuff. I recommend this stuff. I enjoy HelloFresh. I enjoy cooking. I enjoy using their recipes. I enjoy everything about it. I like it. And I'm really, really happy that they are sponsoring this week's episode of ACM. And because you're listening, you can go to HelloFresh.com/ACM14 and use coupon code ACM14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping. Again, that's HelloFresh.com/ACM14. Use coupon code ACM14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping. Again, I appreciate their sponsoring this show. I absolutely recommend that you check this out. This is one of those companies I am just delighted to have sponsor my show. I am just delighted about it, and I hope that you like them too. As a matter of fact, I'd love to hear what you think. ACM@MacObserver.com. Jeff, let's see now. Taking us out, you brought one more topic to the show, which, by the way, I love you dearly for, because I believe you have some shortcut tips for us.
Oh, sure. Well, first, are you using shortcuts at all?
No, it's something I'm very excited about and have yet to actually invest any time in.
Oh, you should really do this. And honestly, it's really easy, because you will occasionally be doing stuff where you're talking, like, say, to your HomePod or your iPhone, and it'll ask you, do you want me to turn this into a shortcut for you? And then just say yes, and it's done. So what I'm saying is, you have no excuse for not using shortcuts.
Yeah, I don't. I guess I need to actually just turn that on to have that happen, because I've never had Siri ask that.
Oh, interesting.
Where do you turn it on?
You know, typically And maybe it's just exclusive. I can't remember now. I feel like it happens on my HomePod sometimes. But yeah, I'll do something, you know, like set a specific HomeKit scene, or I'll ask Siri on my iPhone to do it. And then it'll give me this dialogue where it asks if I want to turn this into a shortcut, because I do it a lot. And so then I say yes, and now I just speak the shortcut, as opposed to going into HomeKit or, you know, whatever app and turning the thing on that way. But what got me like more interested in doing more than I currently am with shortcuts, it was two things. First, because we know that shortcuts are coming to Mac OS this fall.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was, to me, what was one of the bombshell statements that was just like a throwaway statement during the WWDC keynote. And it was when Craig Federighi said shortcuts is the future of automation for Apple.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's fair.
And so at that point I was like, okay, I'm now done messing around with Automator and AppleScript. May it rest in peace. I love AppleScript. And now I need to focus on shortcuts. And I think that we all need to bone up a little bit on our JavaScript skills, because I think that's going to be the 1-2 punch combination for cross-device automation
in the future. Yeah, but you're not going to need JavaScript to make use of shortcuts per se.
I am.
But no, you're talking about making the most of shortcuts.
Yeah, for
the otherwise average you're going to scare everybody that off unnecessarily.
All right. Well, then how about if I spin that around and say, here's a really cool shortcut you can make yourself right now that's actually really useful. So you know how you can say, hey, S lady, play jazz, or hey, S lady, play classical, or you can choose a genre and then have your HomePod start playing music. Well, when you do that, you don't get to pick which of the curated playlists that Apple has that it'll play. So, for example, I play a lot of jazz music. So when I say, hey, S lady, play jazz, it's always the same playlist. And now what's in the playlist changes over time, but I can't choose any other. So what I did was I went into shortcuts and I used the HomeKit, shortcuts inside the app to control the HomePod and tell it that I want to play music, and you can choose exactly what it's going to play. So I went and set up a couple shortcuts where I picked very specific curated playlists. So now I can say and then of course you make the name for the shortcut something that makes sense to you. So I made it something that sounds like what would be a proper Siri command. So the command is play piano jazz is one of them. So I can say, hey, S lady, play piano jazz.
Sure.
And now it plays the specific curated playlist that I had chosen, and not the one that Apple has deemed appropriate for me to listen to when I just use a Siri command.
That makes sense. And that is in fact useful. I'm wondering, by the way, if I don't have, because I'm not finding any place to turn this on, I'm wondering if I don't have shortcuts being recommended to me because I'm so set in my ways. Unless, like, the things that I'm doing are not, like, you know, I've got my own automation set up through the Home app, and I'm not doing enough kinds of things that could be shortcutted.
Oh, so like you're using the automation features in HomeKit to just make stuff happen.
Yeah, stuff that I set up myself.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing. You can take those different scenes and automations that you've created in HomeKit, mm-hmm. and in Shortcuts, you can put them together in different ways. So, like, if you have a couple different scenes that you use, and you have to trigger each of them individually,
yeah,
because you tend to use them together,
yeah.
Why not set up a shortcut where you give the shortcut the name of what it is you want to say, and have both of those scenes or animations happen together?
Yeah, that's where I'm saying I'm kind of setting my ways in that I already set up the scenes that do the things that I want as one.
Okay, well, before you should play with it with music.
I should, yeah. Well, there's just a lot of things that I should play with shortcuts. I just haven't taken the time to do it. But it is such a it's such an obvious go-to future thing that that has so much potential that I definitely, everyone needs to do it, but I need to do it in particular.
Yes, you do. You should set a good example. Yeah. And I have another one that I set up called It's Chill Time. So I can say, "Hey, S Lady, it's chill time." And
start up Netflix?
Because, you know, the funny thing is that's what I thought about as I came up with the name.
Uh-huh.
Sadly, Netflix does not any shortcuts.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would totally have one that's, "Hey, yes, lady, time for Netflix and chill."
Yeah, I think you said that wrong, though. Hey, yes, lady, it's time for Netflix and chill.
And now I just feel kind of dirty and creepy. but my it's chill time. What it does is it turns off like all of my office lights because it's time to chill, not be in the office.
Sure.
And then it sets the living room lights exactly the way I want them.
Sure.
And then turns on a specific curated playlist on the HomePods.
And you did all this through shortcuts.
I did it all through shortcuts.
Whereas I had already done that through setting up a scene, and a shortcut seemed like it would be easier to do.
Yeah, it's super easy. And actually there's a whole interface inside shortcuts to set up all those automation things for HomeKit that you set up in HomeKit. And if you go and look in that area in shortcuts, you'll see those automations that you set up in HomeKit. So I'm wondering, down the road, are we going to have this thing where all the automation stuff that you do with HomeKit, you're actually managing in the Shortcuts app because it's just automation?
Or would there even be a Shortcuts tab in Home?
Yeah, well, they could just rename the automation tab Shortcuts.
Well, yeah, but but then have it actually essentially be the same content that you would find in the Shortcut app.
It already is the same content.
Ah.
Well, but it's filtered to show just the HomeKit related stuff.
Right. Right. By the way, I have a kind of a HomeKit question for you. Did you get a message from my mom today after yesterday or today?
No.
So you did a sort of workshop for CatMac?
I did. Yes.
And
it was a lot of fun.
Which fantastic of you to do. Everybody should get involved with their local mug. If it is not to participate, get involved to teach things. Mugs are still very useful, especially to people who do not use the internet to connect.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you is, she was asking me if there was a way to take the light bulbs that she had set up through the LifeX app and import those into HomeKit without resetting them up through HomeKit.
You have to set them up in HomeKit because otherwise, gotcha, HomeKit doesn't know about them.
Right. I was hoping that there was some sort of import function that I had missed.
No, you have to set them up.
Word.
But it won't take that long. And once they're set up, then it's just done. And then all the other stuff that I was showing your mom and all the other CatMac people with shortcuts and automation for controlling the lights will be great. As I recall, your mom, the lights that as I recall, the lights that Nancy has mm-hmm. are like in a place where it's they're distracting when she's watching TV.
Yes, and she wants to be able to control it all through HomeKit, which I had told her to set it up through HomeKit, and she set it up through the LifeX app, but, you know, whatevs.
Well, if the LifeX app has been given access to HomeKit, then the stuff is there in HomeKit. Mm. Because all of the apps that have HomeKit support, they will show you all of your HomeKit devices. Like if you go and look in your Hue app,
yeah,
you will see not just the Hue bulbs, but you will be able to see the other HomeKit devices that you have. Same thing like with the Eve app.
Okay. All right. I'll work with her on that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been Jeff's support hour.
Right. Yep. I'm here for you.
And I appreciate it. You know how else I appreciate it, Jeff?
What else do you appreciate?
I appreciate the folks at HelloFresh. So if you go to HelloFresh.com/ACM14 and use code ACM14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping. Pretty cool, huh?
Very cool.
And let's see, on that note, Mr. Jeff. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to question, comment on, or add, write me at acm@macobserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by CacheFly. The base is by Boom. Recorded just for TMO. And Jeff, thank you very much for joining me once again.
Thanks for inviting me back on, because it is always an absolute blast to get to hang out with you and
talk. Tell us where we can find you.
How about Jay Gamut on Twitter and Instagram? Mm-hmm. And I have a YouTube channel now.
Yeah.
YouTube.com/JayGamut.
/JayGamut. That's like important.
It's, well, you know, I am, after all, Jeff Gamut.
You are Jeff effing Gamut. What are you posting there? I mean, I know what you're posting there, but
no, for people who don't know. I knew what you were doing. I knew what you were doing. And and what you're doing now. You're just trying to cover that you haven't watched any TV shit. I get it. I'm posting a bunch of how-to stuff right now. Mm. So, like, for example, if you want to take advantage of Apple Hi-Res Music and actually hear the way it's intended to be listened to, you need an external DAC. So what is that? How do you do it? I've got you covered there.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And I did one on using the Apple Watch feature for unlocking your iPhone while you're wearing a face mask.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Geez, what else have I done? I have several.
People can find out at youtube.com/JayGamut.
YouTube.com/JayGamut. Oh, how about if you don't like Amazon Sidewalk? I explained to you what it is and how to turn it off if you don't want it.
Yeah, we're like bordering. We're like going to make you sign a non-compete clause. All right. I don't think I can actually do that anymore. Jeff, thank you very much, man. And I'm going to play us both off.
Okay.
Cue the applause and walk off stage.
Okay.